Okay, so I'm calling the budget workshop to order at 6:30. And as always, Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
Pledge allegiance to the flag
of
the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which stands
one nation, under God,
indivisible,
liberty,
and justice for all.
Okay, roll call.
Jack Walsh.
Here.
Kelly Curtis.
Here.
Bob Miani.
There.
Rose Pertoso.
Okay. Hi, public portion. I don't see anyone from the public here, so we'll just leave that and move on to the budget discussion. Give me a second here. I've got to get the screen up. Okay, I've got the budget where we left off last week, but with a couple of changes. Okay. Let me start at the top. One that's good news. I think last time we met, we were talking about making the interest somewhere around $25,000. Well, I had a further discussion with Nancy in the office. We actually had $14,000 in interest last month. Now, we'll have to pay some fees on that, but if you take $14,000 and multiply it over 12 months, it's a lot more than $25,000. Can't be sure exactly what it is, because the amount of money we have on deposit could change from month to month. But, you know, my discussions were there. I said, if I plug in $75,000, do you think that's a good number? And she agreed. So I plugged in the $75,000. And I think when we left the meeting last time, we were at $25,000. So that's the only thing that changed for me. But then, Ed, you had three changes when you looked at things. So you want to talk about those? I plugged them in on this spreadsheet, starting here.
Sure. The chemicals, sodium hypochlorite, which we use for our disinfection, that went up again. We are talking with Weston and Sampson about a degreaser to put in our pump stations to kind of help get rid of the grease that we're having in there. That's a new chemical addition to the ones that we already have. So that and the subject fees that we have with the rate of diesel in the trucking industry, we figured it would be a good idea to increase it a little bit more.
So if I move that over. Okay, unfortunately, he can see how dramatic an increase that actually is. So, okay, the second one is down here. Not a big one, but.
Not a big one. We have our uniform company, they come in every Tuesday. And when he came in yesterday, he gave us our receipt and said, as of May 1st, the government contract that we're under went up 7.7%.
Wow, that's a lot.
It hasn't gone up in about seven or eight years, I think they said, which is why they're going up now.
But even 7%, I mean, that sounds like a lot, but if they haven't raised it in all those years, it's really not. Especially with inflation. I think they said today it's finally under 6% for the year. That's for 1 year. Okay, and your third one that was different was this one.
Yep. The last one that we changed was the rags, grit, and the grease. We haven't used anything out of that line item yet so far this year. It's because the grit facility in Manchester had closed down. They're not taking in grit anymore. So it's hard to find a way to dispose of it. We are working with someone to get rid of it. They have an incinerator that they have on site, which, you know, in conversations, that's how they've been doing it and will continue to do it. And the off chance that something goes wrong with that incinerator, they now have to ship it out of state. So the additional couple thousand dollars is trucking fees if necessary.
Okay, so plug that in. And you see that down here, we're still showing a surplus. But again, it's kind of real and it's kind of not at the same time, because we have all this included. But we've got, and I don't know, did you have a chance to talk to Nancy Marcy about this?
I gave it to her. Yes. She goes, it's not a balance. I said, I know, because we're not done with it yet.
Well, but it's not a balance because we're showing a surplus at this point.
Yeah. But she said to she looked at the figures. She didn't see anything that jumped out. And she said she would look at it again before, like, next meeting. And she says, if, you know, she'll talk to you if she sees anything that is crazy.
Okay. And I guess my point, the one that we would change to put it in balance would be to add the 153 to the 306 here. Okay. Because technically we're saying this is a surplus. So if we move it to reserves, and again, I don't know if this is the way to do it or not, but that's the way it looks like it's set up. We would move that over to reserves. And that would balance it.
Okay.
The only thing I would say about the reserve, I'd like to see that by board vote become a real reserve and reserve it for capital expenses going forward. And, you know, we'd have to talk to Nancy and maybe Dennis even on what the procedure would be for that. But, you know, last time we talked about setting up this line item, where do we put us? We're going to put $75,000 a year. Where do we put it? Let's see.
I don't think we actually put in a line item, did we?
I thought we put it in someplace.
I thought we put it in under truck replacement.
Yeah, I thought we did too, but it's not there. So let me put it in.
Okay. Oh, you have truck replacement, 60, 75,000. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not on here. Well, okay. Maybe I didn't save it in time. You know, that we know that we would have that in reserves. The only thing I would say, Ed, that if you could by next meeting, present a schedule for us of what you view as the capital expenses over the next 5 years, showing what we've got now, when it's fully depreciated, and we would need to replace it, so that, you know, again, we'll begin to form our ideas about future expenses on capital. And then if we keep that reserve set aside for that, we don't get hit with a big shot all at once that we can't handle. That would be my suggestion.
Okay. And you're talking about the critical aspects of the plant that we were discussing at the last meeting or with Weston and Sampson yesterday?
Well, this one would be, right now it's in truck replacement, so it would have to go someplace else. But I would think all the items that have to be replaced on a regular basis rather than an emergency. But, you know, the vac trucks, the camera trucks, anything that we normally would be buying on, you know, a 3, 5, 7 year schedule, so that we could at least take a look at that schedule and see what it looks like and then start setting aside the funding. Because when something wears out, then we buy it. But we should have
Would you want to make that a stationary item, like pumps or what have you? Or do you want to make that a mobile item, like the skid steer? You know what I mean? When we call it capital, it's all big money things that we're doing over so many years. But do you want to make that just for vehicles?
I'm just suggesting that for anything that's we know is going to be a recurring expense that would be considered capital.
Okay.
So it could be more than trucks.
Okay.
And I think once Ed can draw up that list, we could take a look at it and, you know, decide if it's something we think fits in that category or not. And we may change the account name.
Yeah, I see.
To something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it, you know, right now it looks as though we'd be in position to do something like that because of this extra $75,000 that we haven't had.
Yeah.
You know, it prepares us better to not have wild swings in a budget if we know what we're going to be seeing. Again, 3, 5, 7 years, whatever it happens.
Sure, sure.
Wouldn't it be just a capital reserve check?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Yeah. I don't care what we call it, Bob. I'm just saying that we haven't really done that in the past and said that's what this is going to be used for. I mean, technically, the board can at any point change it, but I think I'd like to see it on our balance sheet designated for that.
Yeah, definitely.
So we know, you know, what we're shooting for, again, to avoid wild swings at any one time if we can. So I don't know if everyone's had a chance to look at this. Does this make sense to people?
And then, I think so.
And then depending on what Nancy tells us, if she's saying, well, you can't have a budget that's out of balance, we'll take the 78 here and add it to the, where is it, the 306,681, which we said we're going to move to reserves.
Good. No, I think, you know, we're looking at the future. So that's good. You know, we know the future is ours and nobody else's. So, you know, I think that's good.
You know, we've taken steps for the last few budgets to particularly buy anything that affects the safety of the employees. And I think we always want to keep that in mind. So it gives us that opportunity to do that. So again, I don't know if we need a motion for this tonight. I mean, technically we'll unofficially adopt it next week and then have the public hearing, and right after the public hearing officially adopt it. So I don't know, perhaps the saying would be, even though we're doing it to ourselves, that for today, the motion is to recommend this as our budget for next year to be approved next meeting.
Yeah, I would make a motion to accept it for approval at the next meeting.
Okay, do I hear a second?
Seconded, sure.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, and again, Marcy, I want to clarify, with this budget that we may be adopting, there's no rate increase.
Okay.
Right? The rate increase is the same because we're using the figures you've got.
Right. Right.
Okay. So that's it for that for now.
So, but how do we go about, Jack, how do we go about starting to work on these rates now? So we're trying to offset what we're going to see in the next 5, 6 years. I understand we have to give them a balanced budget, but we already know we're going to put that money back into the, we're going to put that money back into the, for better words, the general account, the reserves.
Right.
How do we go about whether we change the flat rate or we change the percentage that they pay above the flat rate? How do we go about changing that so that we can start building up a little? You know, I mean, I know we're doing the kitty with the reserves, but how do we start building our rates so that they're going to reflect some of the work that needs to be done down at the plant? This is the part I'm real confused with.
Well, that becomes a question of where we want to charge that. I mean, the way it's been done up till now is it's all been done as one shot and billed separately as a capital item.
Right.
It's done at referendum time. I mean, what we're doing with the budget as we've just kind of adopted is we're setting aside that money so we wouldn't have to raise the rate. If we have to buy a truck or something, we would just be able to take it from reserve. So in a way, we're doing exactly what you said right now. And the only reason we're able to do that is really because all of a sudden we're getting an extra surplus up here from that stiff account. Because if you took that away, and we want to do something, we would have to raise rates. But because we've got that extra money, we're not going to have to raise rates. So, you know, we can thank Nancy for pointing out that this was an opportunity to earn these extra dollars that we haven't had. So it gives us a little cushion, Kelly. I don't know if it solves the whole problem what you're talking about, but as we get closer to getting the figures for what it's actually going to cost for the capital improvements, then we're going to have to do something more. We know that.
I understand that. I was looking over a little bit of the stuff from, from your
Reptilis
committee. Yeah. And, it's like there's like in 3 years from now, there's a great, great big jump there that we're going to need money for. And instead of taking a big number, I just don't understand why we can't up the rates, say a few percent, or change our base rate to start building a separate kitty toward the plant. I don't know. I'm very naive to this. I mean, I've looked at, I just keep on thinking about what's going on up in Bethel, that we had a company come in. They knew what we needed over the next 10, 20 years, and they adjusted our rates every year to try to absorb that. And I just, I'm just a little confused how we can do that.
Well, again, the way the city's done it in the past was they didn't do that, and then they just got the figure from the referendum, and they put it in all one shot that way.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we could look at the reserves and start drawing down the reserves now if you wanted to, okay?
Yeah.
But I think it probably makes more sense to wait until we know what those numbers are going to be. And even our reserves aren't going to be enough of a cushion for that.
No. We're probably 25% of the cushion that we need, with the reserves.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers are scary. We may start getting a better idea even next month. We met with Weston and Sampson yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you want to give a little quick update on that?
Sure. We met with Chris Wester and Bob Tedeschi of Weston and Sampson yesterday to kind of go over, scheduling and how we're going to move forward with, the facilities upgrade.
Right.
So, the first thing that we really tried to, consider was the scheduling, the timing, what it's going to take to get the reports to DEP for their approval so we can start moving forward with going out to bid and, shovels in the ground. There is a looming question of with the agreement that we already have with Weston and Sampson to do the facilities upgrade in 2014, does that still hold moving forward with DEP?
And in two phases, we have to get the plan done by June 30th, okay? And then get the schedule done, or the design with the schedule, by December 31st. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
So that's when we'll have those numbers, Kel, that you're talking about. And, the question I asked was, well, when would we have to go out to referendum? If you look at Reftelis, as you already notice, Kelly, they were talking about 2026 is the year you'd have to have that money. So that doesn't entirely answer the question, when would you have to go to referendum to have? Right. We know that we've got about $14 million left on the first referendum to tap into. So that would be subtracted from whatever additional would be.
Right.
But it's still not going to be easy. Those numbers are staggering in there. They're staggering. Yeah. So we're really caught between a rock and a hard place, but I think it will start clarifying itself. And I think by the end of the year, we'll know. But, the point we also discussed yesterday, we have to start letting the public know that this is coming. And there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's just, how do we make it as least burdensome as possible, but still get it done? You know, when we had the meeting with Deep, the woman was very cooperative, but she also made it clear that if the city does not pass the referendum to do the borrowing, then the state would use state law to mandate that it happens. So,
yeah.
There's got to be a public relations campaign with this to let the public know what's coming.
All right. So educate me on something else then. Well, all right. Once we get the final number, now I'm not even going to throw a number out there. I'm just going to say, once we get the final number and we've got to go for a referendum. Now, in the meantime, we look for grants. We look for low interest loans.
Yep.
Are we tied in with the grant itself? Like if the grant, I'm just going to throw a figure out there, $20 million that we need above and beyond. Okay, so it comes in at $20 million. The referendum goes, and we get the $20 million bond. Now, if we were to hire a grant writer or someone for, you know, like low interest loans that can find these things for us, do we have to take that full $20 million?
Kelly, it's just like now. I mean, we have not borrowed the whole $31
million.
Okay. We've only borrowed the 17 or whatever it is, and we'll be doing the rest of the borrowing probably in August. That's also what we talked with Weston and Sampson about. We've got the form for the Clean Water Act. Okay. Yeah. So we will put in an application for that right now, okay? And the reasoning from Deep was get it in now, even though you won't need it till later, to get up on the list.
Sure.
Communities that are looking for the money. So Weston and Sampson will actually have something for us. I don't know if it'll be at the next meeting or next month with their figures for what, you know, that part of design and whatnot that they're doing and the writing of the grants, what cost that will be. Okay. Because
who will handle the grants, Jack? Is this something that we've got to bring in a grant writer, or is this something at Weston and Sampson, they have people that will write these grants for us?
They have people that will do it. And when we talked to them last month, we thought that they're the experts on the technical side. Maybe we would still bring in someone to help them,
right? You
know, with the, we'll say, the verbiage on the rest.
Yeah, it's all about the writing.
Yeah,
you know,
and you know, there is one other direction we could take. Okay, we could go out and look for instead of the city's grant writers part time. Maybe we go to the COG.
Yeah,
and ask if they could do it. You know, certainly Andrew is up there right now. Maybe he can give us some advice on it. But we are going to need outside help. We're not going to be able to do that as a
committee. It just seems like the town is very laxed with their grants. I can tell you from the fire department, Charlie Sampson wrote a ton of grants himself to save a lot of money for the fire department when he was fire chief. There's grants out there for generators. I just think there's got to be something out there for the situation that we're in. And we just can't depend on somebody that's doing it 10 hours a week. I think we need, for better words, a professional grant writer.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think we have to look at that. And that's why, you know, again, I still haven't gotten the name of the city grant writer, but we've talked to Weston and Sampson, you know. Not for tonight's meeting, but I would suggest that we also contact the COG and see if they could help sure. with this as well.
Would Andrew be at liberty to sit with us at a meeting, do you think?
Well, I'll give him a call. I mean, he works for the COG right now, so he could tell us what. I also talked with Rick Dunn.
Yeah.
You know, they did the regional study, so that they have a background in this already.
Right.
So... we do have alternatives. we do have alternatives that, you know, not for tonight's discussion, but for
the
budget. You're right on track, Kelly. That's the kind of thing we've got to do. You know, again, I'm going to bring back that word I keep throwing, two words I keep throwing out. We have to do our due diligence.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's coming out of our own pockets because we're taxpayers. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of, no, I just, all right. Well, thank you. You educated me on this a little more.
I wish I did, Kel, but believe me, I'm as much of an amateur on this as you are.
Yeah.
I'm trying to feel my way through it. And, you know, I think the city is trying to ship more and more of the costs over to us. And in some ways they're right. In some ways they're not. I'm hoping we'll see better numbers on a regular basis when they get their new software. Because that's been a constant nightmare for me. But, you know, we're doing as best as we can. You
know? Yep.
It would be helpful, I think, if we got two new board members. One with financial expertise and one with engineering expertise. I think that would be a big boon for us if we could get that. I don't know if we can.
You think we could get Andrew on the board?
No, that would be a conflict of interest for him, I think. So,
he doesn't live in Derby. Well, he owns property in Derby, but
sure he
doesn't live.
He doesn't live here. All right, let me. I'm going to close this out for now because we already acted on that. I'm going to make sure I save it this time.
Jack, if I may.
Yep.
I
won't save yet.
Kelly was talking about potentially rate increase. Just a thought, would it be beneficial if we started raising rates at a minimum 1, 2, 3% now and put it into that money-making account that we have making $14,000 a month? If we do that now, little by little, if we start increasing every year, putting more and more money into that account, then essentially by 2026, we have made enough money in interest to offset a lot of those costs coming in.
I don't know. I don't know. At some point, we're going to end up raising rates. But, you know, if you look at our reserves right now, somebody would say, why are you raising the rates when you've got these reserves? And, you know, right now we're saying, well, we're trying to make sure we don't have that one big thing that blows us away.
Yeah.
And certainly, look, it would have been ideal, Ed, if that had been done from day one at WPCA. If when the WPCA started, money was set aside every year, knowing if the plant life is 30 years, if you could set aside that extra money for those 30 years. But, you know, somebody who's a ratepayer right now might say, well, I'm not going to be here 30 years. Why am I paying for that? You know, it's just a logical argument. I'm not saying I agree with, but, you can see.
I could believe in a ratepayer feeling that way, but they also don't see what's going day to day and what we have ahead of us. But
right. But they're also paying for the past sins right now.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That's all I'm trying to say. They're going to get hit both ways. It would have been nice if it was always setting aside the money to avoid future problems, but that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
So, but we can continue to have that discussion, but you know, for tonight, we've got a preliminary budget that everybody needs to go back and look at, and we'll ask Nancy and the finance department to take a look, make sure we're not missing anything. And then we've got really 2 weeks to finalize it. You know, we've got something we'll approve next week after the public hearing. We come back and it can be changed if needed. So let me close this out and let's get to the second issue. Okay, let me see what I've got here. Give me a second here. All right, I think this is where we were at last week talking about the connection fees and the impact fees. What we were talking about is, do we change the fees as they exist now or do we keep them in place? Recognizing that our rates are a little higher, in some cases a lot higher than some of our neighboring towns, would we be scaring people off and lose the long-term benefit of having them pay every year if we, again, assuming we can take the capacity that they'll be generating for us? So, Ed, do you want to walk us through this once more?
Sure. Well, first let me ask, Jack, did you get the email I sent you a little while ago in regards to the memorandum from Weston and Sampson?
I don't think so. Let me just look. When did you send it? Oh, it's probably right here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's right there. Right. I didn't get a chance to see it before.
You may want to read that before we move forward, because that is a very good idea that they came up with.
All right, so I'll just scroll slowly through it because you're all seeing it for the first time the same as I am. Okay, two different ideas. Okay, let's go this one first. Let me just highlight it. Okay, under scenario one, impact fees should be considered for new connections to the existing infrastructure to consist of a one-time retroactive billing of established capital recovery charges since the inception date of the various different recovery charges. Okay, this is basically the referendum charge. Once connected, the user will bill the applicable annual capital recovery charge on their sewer bills going forward. So, all right, if I'm reading this correctly, how long have we been collecting, Marcy? Are we in
Yes. This will be our sixth coming up.
Okay, so we've had five already. So if I'm reading this correctly, Ed, weigh in if I get it right or wrong. We would bill any of the new ones for the five previous years, and then they would be on the same schedule of 257 a year going forward. Is that what this is saying?
Yes, sir. So it's retroactive to 2018 at the $257 a year that all of the other users or residents in Derby have already been paying. So basically they're paying to get up to speed with what everyone else has paid so far into the capital fee.
Okay. My question about that would be, though, why would they pay for something they haven't used?
I agree.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think of all the questions that would be asked. So hold that thought. Now let's look at scenario two. Okay. On the scenario two, impact fees should be considered for change connections to the existing infrastructure. It consists of a one-time retroactive billing of the differential between the historic capital recovery charge for the connected property on the updated capital for the connected property moving forward. Once connected and active, the user will bill the applicable recovery charge of the sewer bill is going forward at the update rate. So these are for, we were talking about properties, the shopping malls or whatnot, where they change their use.
Right.
They're not built.
Right. So if somebody has a property, not a residential property, but a commercial property, and they leave or go out of business and somebody new comes in, it would be the same situation as scenario one, where they would, their impact fee would be based on retroactive of the 257 for the capital fee.
Okay, yeah, I'm having trouble with this one. This one I understood, no problem. The second one I'm having trouble with consists of a one-time retroactive billing of the differential. Okay?
I think we're spinning our wheels here. You can't go back in time and charge retroactive. I don't know what you're even dealing with that. Impact fee is supposed to be the impact of connecting someone else onto the system, and what is the future impact to WPCA? Is it that we're going to have to add another pump station or whatever? And that, to me, that should be a percentage of whatever that cost is that we're working with, you know, no matter what, not a.
The difference is, you know, let me bring up the other one. Right now, we're just charging the flat fee.
Right.
Okay. So this one is saying, rather than the flat fee, it's based on the previous years. So, for example, let's take this, a single-family dwelling unit. Right now, what you already recommended, Ed, was $2,100. Okay. Correct. Under the scenario one, 5 years at 257, it would become $12,500, right?
No.
Is that only for commercial? What?
It would be $1,285.
Okay, $1,285 instead of $2,100.
Yes, sir.
So we'd actually be, right now, these are your recommendations. Right now, we're charging $4,000 or $5,000 for these, right?
Yes, sir. $4,600.
$4,600. So under this scenario, we're cutting that to $2,100. But under the scenario Weston and Sampson had, we'd be cutting it even more.
Yes, sir.
And also, I think what Bob pointed out, and the question I asked, if you're telling people it's going to be based on five previous years, I could see a lot of objections to that. If we're doing it here and saying, no, this is the impact it's having, you really can't question that.
Jack, if you go out 10 years, then what are you going to do? Tell them they got to pay for the previous 10 years that they weren't involved?
Exactly. I was thinking even farther. It's what nonsense. If it's 20 years and we're still paying?
Yeah, I know. It's an idea. I'm just, as you guys are, I'm trying to figure out what are the shortcomings of it that would cause a problem or, worse yet, cause a lawsuit.
I think we were better off looking at if it's a new residential and compared to what it would cost the resident. So this is a new building, right? They're going to need a septic tank or a sewer line. And if they're going to compare anything, they're going to look at right now $30,000 or $40,000 for a septic system or $2,000 for a sewer line, which I think is too low. But we should have a fee like whatever it was, $4,000, $5,000. And they can justify it by saying, or you can justify it by saying, you could go in and put your own septic system in for $40,000. Why are you complaining about $5,000? You know what I mean? There's something you can compare to, but you can't go back on retroactive 20 years or 10 years. That all.
Plus, where do you earmark that money? If you're if you're comparing it to the capital fee that we're paying, we've paid for the 5 years, does that go against the bond, or does that go back into the reserves? You know, where does that money go?
Should go into reserves.
The understanding that I had from Chris Wester was that money should be used to pay down the existing capital fee.
Yeah, I would think it would have to go until the bond is paid off. I would think it has. But
that is not an impact fee. If you do that, you're not doing anything for impact. Impact's future. What's the, you know, you should have a reserve account that if you had to put an addition on the plant or whatever you had to do, you should have a reserve account to cover that.
Yeah.
And that's where that impact fee should go.
All right, but right now, where do impact fees go? They just go into the regular budget.
Right.
They've never
That's not right either.
I'm not saying right. I'm just saying what has been done.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things have been done.
that's why we're doing this, Bob. That's why we are today,
right?
I can tell you that impact fees are supposed, once recovered, they're supposed to go into a capital account for capital expenditures.
Right. Which has never been done, though.
So it's going to the general account. It's going in the reserve account, if anything.
Yeah,
correct.
Well, I agree with that part. If it's going into the reserves, I mean, it should have a title, you know, or impact reserves, but it doesn't. It's just going into the general reserve account.
Should have an impact reserve account. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting concept, but where do you put it and how? How do you justify it? I mean, you know, the basic idea is you're charging for the impact they have on the system now and in the future.
Right.
Okay. But if you're putting that money directly into the budget, you're helping to keep rates down now, but you're not really reserving it for future costs.
Let me say that sounds like what's happened to Social Security. If you think about it, Social Security is broke. And the reason is they took all the money and put it into the regular budget and spent it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's something for the future that we need to make a line item just for impact. If we make adjustments, or even if we don't make adjustments to it, I think we've got to set up a line item just for the impact.
We have a line item for the impact fee. And what you could do is, like, at the end of each fiscal year, see how much went in there, and then take that money and move it into a capital account.
Yeah, and you know,
why would you do that?
This is one where I think we need legal advice, okay? Because there are two kinds of reserves, actually three kinds probably. There's a reserve that's unrestricted, okay? There's a reserve that's restricted.
Right.
Okay. That's the bond money coming in. That's restricted. Mm-hmm. And then there's a third category that's kind of in between, and I think we subject to Laura telling us, and that would be board restricted. Okay. And here's the difference. Okay. If it's restricted, you can use it only for that and nothing else. Okay. Nothing else. All the money that we collect for the 257 can only be used to pay for the bond. If we have any other kind of emergency, we can't touch that money and move it around. Okay, so that's restricted. And that's the only restricted account we have, at least the only one I know.
Mm-hmm. Right?
The second one is unrestricted. That means it's sitting in reserve and you can use it for anything you want. That we have done. Okay, in the end, I don't think we had to do it. But remember, a couple of times we did the budget and we said, well, we'll transfer from the reserves, which was the unrestricted reserve, to cover that cost. Okay, Then the third type is a board restricted, which is what we're starting to talk about here right now, where the board is saying, okay, that $75,000 we were just talking about, we want to restrict that to only be used for capital items. But keep in mind, any board can then come back later on and change that. So does everyone understand what I said?
Yes.
Restricted, don't touch. You have no say in it. Unrestricted, do whatever you want. Board restricted, the board would have to make a change. So there's not a major difference between unrestricted and board restricted, other than the board saying it has every intention of using it just for this one thing, but push comes to shove, they can move it around. Go ahead, Bob.
No, it's Kelly. I think we had these different things set up, and we didn't know what they were for, and we put it all into the single reserves. You remember the past couple of years we've been working on this budget, and we've been saying, well, what's $2 million sitting there for? Or something's been sitting there since 2011. I think that's exactly what we had, but we never knew what they were.
Right. It was never designated. No one designated. Yep. So right now, all of that was unreserved, except for, again, the one that wasn't unreserved, because it is there as a capital item, was the money collected for the bond.
Right.
Okay? And that one, technically, it wasn't on our books either. Okay, yeah. We collected it. It was on our budget. But then it was moved over to wherever Keith kept the money for that at the end of the year. The auditor would make that adjustment.
Yeah.
But now it's on our books.
Yeah.
Okay. So now it's on our books, and we just have to make sure we understand that's restricted. We can't touch that. That's that right now. There's $200,000 sitting there. Okay. We can't say, oh, we're going to buy a vac truck with that money tomorrow. No, it can only be used to pay for referendum expenses. So,
yes.
So, I mean, that's a good discussion. That's a good discussion. I think we could use further guidance from both the lawyer and the auditor on that. But in the meantime, we're back to the question of, do we want to do something with these rates, or do we want to keep them as they were before, which was the 4,000. I don't know if I can pull that up on the screen. Give me a second.
Well, I got to tell you the way I feel. Since the capital, the bond account has been set up, we've been doing these EDUs, and they never really made me understand. I never really understood what it was until Ed's layout here of how it is about the 3.5 million gallons a day and how it was broken into the EDUs. So I understand that a lot more.
Right.
But I like the idea with the new program is the way the EDUs are broken up toward the impact fee. I just kind of understand that more. I have a hard time looking back on the old stuff from 2012 where it's talking about building square footage. I mean, you know, you could have a laundromat with high water, or you could have a building like Kohl's that's got three bathrooms and a sink. You know what I mean?
Right.
I like this new setup. I know it's less money going into our impact fee, but I do like the way it's set up. The only thing that I question, talking about all the added observation fees on the old one and the added laterals. When I think of a lateral, I think of the line that ties into the sewer where we own it. And the way I'm thinking is the main that's out in the street. I consider anything that's coming from commercial or industrial, that's owned by the homeowner. It doesn't become ours, even though we're processing the product. It doesn't really become ours until it hits the main trunk line. So I think what I need to understand is, what are you considering a lateral in the city of Derby?
you know, where it says multiple laterals there. Now, I'll start with residential. Now, you've got single family, and then you've got two family, you got three family, you got four family. It's still only going to be one lateral going out to the sink, out to the street. What I don't understand is where are all these observation fees from single to four of them or added laterals? I just don't get the concept. Like I say, my feeling is that's owned by the homeowner or the business owner or the industrial business owner. It's owned by them. It's their own manholes. It becomes ours when it hits our line. Another way of saying it also is if I had a pump-up sewer. If I had a pump-up sewer, I would want a gravity sewer before it went into... I would want to see that pump-up sewer hit a gravity sewer before it came to the sewer line.
It should be in the garage. Right.
So you're talking about all these fees right here?
Yeah. For better words, I'm going to guess that's an inspection fee. And hookups. I mean, like we talked about over at Big Y where they subdivided the building. It doesn't, all those laterals, unless it's our sewer lines out in front of Big Y, it's not our responsibility till it hits our line, whether it be New Haven Avenue or on Sodom Lane. Mm-hmm. Am I explaining this properly? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's where I don't understand all these other little fees. Even on the new sheet, there's added laterals. But is it an added lateral that's going all the way out to the main, or is it going to be the lateral that's going to be the owner's responsibility if they get a plugged line out in the middle? You don't pick up ownership until you're clearing your line out in the street. So what I'm saying is I don't understand all these extra things. I like the idea of one connection fee. I like the idea of one inspection fee per lateral, but I don't understand why there's more than one lateral. It should be the main trunk line that hits our line. I don't know. I feel like I'm talking.
Right, so let me try and understand. You're saying that even if there are four, the impact only hits us with the one lateral that connects to us in the road, correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So yeah, I do understand that. I do understand.
That's not. Yeah. When you start adding laterals, you're adding additional volume, right?
But they're going to get charged for the volume.
But you can add on to the building 30 feet high, 30 stories high, and you got one connection.
You know, well, that's what I'm asking. Where does it become the top? Where does it become the homeowner's two or three or four laterals, or the business owner's two or three or four laterals? It's not our problem or our concern.
It's not our problem, but the impact fee is something different. It's not our problem. But if we go out to check it, if Ed goes out with his crew and they got four laterals, I guess he can walk away and say it's not my problem because our main line is open. But that's nothing to do with impact fee. The impact fee was when they put that lateral in. They added to their site. You get one shopping center, have one main line, and 30 stores having separate laterals, right? They can have laterals tied in, build their own little system.
But our impact fee is also working off of the flow. So if whatever they have there, if they're calculating, I don't know, 3,000 gallons a day, it's going to be picked up in your impact fee when you multiply out your EPUs.
Yeah, except Kelly, if you have one building with one line, one restroom or two restrooms tied in, and all of a sudden now you extend it to three more commercial sites, and each one has two bathrooms. You just increased your total. Didn't touch our main line where they're connected, but you got all these laterals. So there should be an impact for each of those additions.
But you're getting them through the estimated flow.
Estimated flow isn't going to pay for anything. You know, you look at your bill, flow versus impact fee, that's not going to pay for your impact fee. It's not going to offset the impact fee. I don't think so.
I don't know. It's going to offset it, but it's not going to rate the person either.
I think I got two answers for you, Kelly, with what you're asking. I understand what you're asking. This was put into place long before, you know, I was around. And what I was able to come up with is we do have certain regulations that the homeowner is required to do as far as, you know, with the lateral, it has to be a minimum of a 4-inch. It has to be PVC. So right. I think what they're talking about as far as that goes is because we have requirements, even though, you know, it may be one lateral, we're still checking the work to make sure they meet the WPCA's minimum requirements. And if it's one lateral for a multifamily house, we're still going out and checking, inspecting that connection point where both of those houses go into the one lateral into the street.
Oh, absolutely. I understand that, but where are you going to end up with two laterals unless they're building a two-family home and they want to keep separate water meters and separate sewer laterals, then you're billing out that way. But your
how it's supposed to be done.
Yeah. I mean, every unit should have a lateral by rights. Okay, maybe I just answered my own question on that.
Because if you have a 2 or 3 family house and they're all connected into one common lateral, it's like two separate houses being connected into one separate lateral or one common lateral. Right. Now, you don't know if there's a clog, whose problem is it? Who's going to pay for it? Because they're all combined together.
Who owns the house?
Right, the homeowner.
The owner of, that's not really a problem. And I can tell you, and I'm sure Marcy can too. I had a 3-family, a 4-family, and they had one connection, one line. In fact, they had one line. I had 9 units, 3 houses tied in on one line. However, my bill was based on the number of units, and I had a 4-family. It was commercial, so unless that was a separate line and it was just combined, which it was originally combined, I ended up with a commercial bill for 9 units, which is a lot higher than just the residential rate. And actually it forced me after about 20 years to get the water company to allow me to split the line from the 4-family separately, put separate meters for each house, basically, building.
I think that's what's happening, Bob. That's what I'm thinking of, because I handle both freshwater and sewage. And right now we have it so every unit has their own water line. So if we had to shut off one unit for non-payment, you know, it depends how the bills go. Do the bills go to the homeowner or do the bills go to the renter?
It would go to the homeowner on a multi-unit if they were not separate line. Now, I had 9 units, and any one of them had a problem. You couldn't shut eight other people down.
Exactly.
It's the way the bill came to the owner, not to the unit of tenants.
Right.
All right. No, I mean, I have that problem in Bethel. It wasn't my daughter's baby diaper that plugged up the sewer. It was yours. You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to. You know what I mean?
Sure. It's not the city's problem. It's the homeowner's problem. Yeah. Whoever owns the house. I mean, if you're in that case, I was in that predicament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to Ed's proposal here. Because Ed is basing things, these EDUs, on the actual usage of, or portion of the usage of the overall plant based on, you know, the 210 gallons per day. Does anyone have a problem with this? Because I think this is the key to this whole thing.
No, I like it. I like the idea of the EDUs. I think that's just explains it a lot better. But I just, I don't know. I've got a problem on the residential. I like commercial. I like the commercial, but I know what Bob's saying. We're not getting the true impact fee that you think we deserve. But on the other hand, are we going to chase people away because we're hitting them with this extra fee?
My understanding was we had two or three builders already in town who were looking to put up high-rise multi-unit buildings, and the old National School Studio site there, I understand, was starting to be constructed, I guess.
That's going to happen. Yep. That's
yeah. But you haven't got any feedback, or have you, about impact fee on that, right?
We haven't had anything directly from them, but the tax board did. Okay. The tax board did give them some kind of a break. I don't know what it okay. was. I know they did.
Okay. That's fine. That's the tax board. Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying, you were asking, was there any contact? There was a contact there, but they haven't asked for anything. But they did. But they did express that to the economic development people that the connection fees were something they were concerned about because we were much higher than other communities. So we didn't know that. That's when Ed went out and did the survey to find out, are we higher than other cities or are we not higher?
Well, I guess the question is, do we need impact fees? If we don't need them, well, just forget it. We'll be in the same predicament 10 years down the road as you are now.
Well, I don't think anybody's saying we're not going to have an impact fee. I didn't hear that from anybody.
No,
it's just a question of what you
think. But if I'm reading this right, single family dwelling right now is, is it 2,100? The connection for one unit?
Yes, sir.
And what was it prior to this, up till now? 4,000?
4,662.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. If I'm building a house and I got an option, meaning you don't have an option, you don't have a choice, but if you had to put a septic system in, you couldn't do it for $2,000. You can do it for $4,000. We're passing up, and we're not. I don't feel we're raping anybody by doing this. I mean, if you looked at what the expense of the building is, I'll guarantee that building's in the multi-million-dollar category, the one they're talking about, National School, and so are all the other ones. So here we are trying to nickel dime, worrying about what other towns are doing. I don't think it's going to stop many businesses from coming in.
On the other side of that coin, sir, if you're talking $30,000 for a septic system, that's soup to nuts, excavated and done completely in $30,000. We've had jobs where it's $50,000, $60,000 just in the excavation for them to connect to the sewer because of the depth in the sewer and the road, the type of asphalt that they need. It could get much more expensive than putting in a septic system.
Plus with a septic system.
But any developer who's going to be putting the building in, he would know those costs, right? Going in. He's going to know he's got to go dig 16 feet or 20 feet down that connects the sewer line. If whoever did the engineering is going to point that out. I mean, it's not a problem that we have because we're in the sewer business. It just so happens that that's where it is if he's going to build on that site.
We're not comparing the apples to apples when we're throwing around septic systems. Number one, there's not enough land to put in a septic system, and I don't think the health department would ever let you put in a septic system.
As long as if you're within 300 feet of a sewer line, you have to connect into it.
Okay, that's true. So there's your answer. Yeah.
No, that isn't the answer. The answer is
tie into it. Yeah. Septics are a thing of the past for downtown Derby or for anywhere in Derby. You have sewers in the majority of the town. You probably got 10% of Derby that doesn't have sewers.
The health probably maybe 5%.
Yeah,
I wouldn't dispute that. But if you're comparing putting a building up with a septic system versus a municipal sewer, there's a definite difference in price.
The question is, what is a fair charge?
Well, as I said my piece, you got to look at what the value of the property is, and it's based on that. If you're telling me you're going to reduce the charge 50% after 10 years, well, you just got a windfall somewhere. And we're talking about increasing the fee, the consumption fee, at one point. Now we're saying cut the impact. I mean, the impact, whatever it was, never generated much because nobody did any building in town. But there's a demand right now, I'd say, for building in town. And I don't see where we should be in a position to start cutting fees. If we had a huge impact capital account, and I can maybe see something, but our account is about zero compared to what you would need.
Let me ask a question, because now I've got the two of them on the screen. Over here, we're saying the first condo is $4,662, correct?
Yes, sir.
And every additional family unit is $23,000. Okay, on the commercial, it's by square footage and gallons. So if we're over here, we're saying, could this be, again, let's suppose there are 100 apartments, okay? Should the impact of the first apartment be 4,600, and then each additional apartment be 2,300, which is what you're doing for a two-family home? You follow me?
You could, and this was a discussion that how this first started off. The reason I went the route that I did is because people want to know, where are we basing our costs from? You know, no one has an answer to the 4,662. No one has an answer to how are we doing what we're doing.
All right.
This was the only way I was able to figure out, if somebody asks, where are you getting these costs from? Where are you getting these figures? It's definitive and no one can argue it.
All right. So again, Ed, under your scenario here, they're actually paying what it costs.
Yes, sir.
Under this one, it's under what we were guesstimating.
Yes.
A fixed. We don't have anything to back it up. We're just saying it's 4,600, and then it's 2,300. We're over here. We're saying we're going to get the EDUs.
Because right now a lot of municipalities are based on EDUs. We're not one of them. We just have set rates, and a lot of people want to know, where are we getting our set rates from? So
I understand that, but. Let me use my hypothetical 100-unit apartment house now, okay? what would that cost? You know, we'd have to go up here. Could you give an estimate of what it would be?
Yeah, it would be the 2100. So
that's a residential 2100, right? Well, 100 unit apartments.
That's why
it would be commercial, no?
As you're saying, it would still be $2,100 a unit, right?
Correct, because that's why I outlined residential single family, which includes each condo unit, townhouse, duplex, apartments, and or mobile homes. So it would be at the 2100, the 2100 for 105 apartments, it would be $220,500, where I believe the initial figure was
400,000.
489.
All right. So again, if this is truly the actual cost, then what's wrong with that?
You're saying the cost was the impact fee, Jack? Is that what you're saying? The actual cost is the impact fee.
Yeah, I would think so. But I'm not an engineer, but it seems to me we're saying over here, okay, if you have a single family home or double or triple, you're going to add the 2331, which was a number just picked out of the air, even though it's actually pretty close to the 2100 over here. So wouldn't you just say every additional unit is going to cost you that same 2100? If that's what an EDU is, right?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you saying that each EDU is 2100?
Right.
So here, again, I'm assuming 100 apartments is 100 EDUs. I'm just waiting to see if everybody else sees it that way or a different way.
Got me lost on that one there.
Well, again, let me go back, because again, I'm just trying to figure this out like you are. If I'm a homeowner or a condo, I pay $4,600 for the first one without knowing why, and then I'm going to pay $2,300 for the second one or any additional ones. Okay. But if I'm commercial over here, based on what Ed has figured out is the actual cost for the capacity of our plant, right? Ed, this is based on, is $2,100. Okay, that's the average. So now we're saying, okay, well, you're going to have 100 of these apartments, so you're going to pay $2,100 for each one. Maybe I'm making that too simple, but that's, you know, being a layperson, not an engineer or whatnot, that's the way it strikes me.
And how much of that is going to be, would you consider set aside as impact fee? That total amount? There's no cost.
Well, I would say this first, when you're charging it as an impact fee, I would say the whole thing goes into impact fee. And after that, they're paying the regular rates the same as everybody else every year.
The whole thing should be impact fee, because
wait a minute. Not really. You just said to me this was based on cost, right?
Based on this $2,100 figure, what it would cost for a year, yeah.
But do we have to send someone out to the site to do anything out there from WPCA?
I don't know. I leave that up to Ed.
Yeah. Well, but if he does, he sends somebody out there, you never go out the door. And whatever they do, right? You're going to have to be out there.
Well, that's part of their daily pay. I would consider all that would go into the impact fee. That everything you have written there, the only thing that wouldn't go there
is probably the engineering fee, if needed. The as-built's going to go back. The as-built fee is going to go back to the homeowner. So you're getting the $2,100. You're getting the connection fee. You're getting the inspection fee for $250. All that's going to go back to the impact fee because that 40-hour week is already figured into the budget.
Right, and so you already figured into the budget, then you must have figured in all the buildings that will be going in, because unless Ed's got unlimited manpower, you had 40 hours taken up, and these guys standing around, and all of a sudden you're putting a 100-unit building up, and we don't need any more.
But it's part of their job. It's part of their 40-hour pay for that.
Okay, that means... but hold on a second, Kelly. You got 40 hours... You got to assume that they're working now 40 hours, right? There is no right. impact coming out. There's no building. They're working. They're full load. So what you're telling me is you're going to add anything new coming in. We just keep adding it on to Ed. He's got the ability to stretch that 40 hours to 80 hours with no additional cost. No problem.
But they're paying $1,000 for that, aren't they?
No, that's impact fee. That's not going to Ed to pay his help.
So you're saying get in the
inspection. You're not covering your expenses.
But don't all the inspection fees come to us? Ed, when you do an inspection, that comes to us, right?
Correct.
So you are capturing that. Maybe the difference is this, Bob. Maybe the inspection fee instead of like here, but here it says per lateral. Maybe it has to be redefined as inspection fee per unit. I don't know.
Okay. Impact fee should have nothing to do with the fees or whatever. The fees are for your labor or whatever. It's an additional charge. And as they accumulate, you may have to staff up to cover fees. Impact fee is to look at in the future, we put 10 of these buildings up in town. We're going to be building new schools. We're going to be adding on to the plant. We're going to be probably putting some pump stations.
Yeah, but the new schools are the tax. That's the city's responsibility.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, but if you're putting new schools up, that's indicating you got more people, right? You got more impact on your sewer system as well. I'm just giving you that as an example. Yeah, that is the city. But the impact.
But when we were doing the study, when we were doing the regional study, didn't the study, Ed, show that we had capacity to handle any growth in the city with the existing size of the plant?
For how many years?
I think it was a 20-year projection.
We had capacity for another 20 years?
Based on what the economic development people were telling us about what they expected to come into town, yes.
And that is on what? The capacity of the plant now is 3 million gallons? Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about the future plant?
Both.
Well, I don't know.
Right now, what percentage of capacity are we at? Ed? Our current population and usage, what percentage of the plant are we at?
We're an average of about 1.2 million gallons a day.
Okay, and the capacity is 3.5 million gallons a day. So we're a third of the capacity.
Correct, and with the upgrade, we were projected to reduce the capacity to 2.5 million from 3.5.
Our average is 1 point something, right, Ed?
Yes, sir. What about 1.2?
What's our worst case max at any time?
That was 10, wasn't it?
What, 10 million?
Instantaneous max. The most amount coming in at one particular time, not average for the day. I'd have to take a look back at what the high average per month.
You gotta look at the rainy season, I guess, right?
Right.
Yes, sir. That I'll have to look at, and I can probably get back to you with those figures. I could do like a 5-year projection of the last 5 years, and I could have that for you at the next meeting.
Yeah, but when you do a projection, you almost have to look at what's the new development once they get this Main Street done or whatever they're doing there. How many high-rise buildings are we going to see pop up? You know, last thing I saw, there was like 3 already. Nothing's been completed yet, right?
No, sir.
One is under construction. One probably will be under construction, but it's not on Main Street. That would be the one across from Hotchkiss Hose.
Right.
And somebody's making a proposal to buy Hotchkiss Hose tomorrow, but that'll be so small, it won't make any difference. You give me a second.
Across the street, yeah,
give me a second. I'll show you something that I got from the economic development director today. Hang on. I've got to find this now. If I even have it. They had different scenarios done by UConn. Let me see where I put it. Oh, here. Let me open this up. Can you see this? This is a UConn study talking about what you could expect downtown. And I'll just, these are the 4 parcels or 5 parcels in downtown. The size of each goes over previous work, site assessment, and these are examples of what could be there. And again, this, you know, I don't know if this does much for us, but these are showing what could go on each lot. These two were for lot 1, lot 2, but I'm trying to get to, there were a couple of pictures of what it might look like. That's an example of what it might look like if it was fully developed. So it looks to me.
Did give me any idea how many units, Jack?
No, this was just something thrown together quickly. Yeah. I happened to see it because, okay, you know, in my mind, I've always said, well, what's it going to look like?
Right.
Of course, this is just somebody's idea of what it might look like based on the size of the lots of what could be done there. So can't put a lot of stock in that, but I don't know. I'm stuck on this. Hey, could you do this for us? Okay. Using this and this, show us what we would collect for, let's say, 50 units, 100 units. You think we'll say anything bigger than 100 units downtown?
I'm not sure. I think the 100 was the biggest. I know there's the one behind City Hall that's going to be 95 units. I don't know anything about the one where across from Hotchkiss Hose.
Yeah, I don't know what the size of that is. I don't think it was much more than that. Well, could you do it for 50, 100, and 150?
Absolutely.
And just put them side by side so we can see that. And then I am going to have Dennis come to the meeting next week and give us some advice legally on this, because you know what you've got here is a new concept, but at least you can see what it's based on. I challenge anybody to tell me what the $4,600 is based on. You guys have been on this committee a lot longer than I have. Can anybody tell me what the $4,600 is based on?
That's about 4 years before I even got on the committee.
Yeah. See, I can come over here and I know what he's basing it on, but I don't know over here.
That's why I say I like the EDUs. I like that formula.
Yeah.
I think in that formula, if you were to add a separate line for impact fee, you would have it.
But what would you make that be? How are you going to calculate what that is?
The impact fee?
Yeah.
Well, you have to base it on what you're looking at. How many million are we looking at for a plant? in the next 30 years?
Yeah, but
how many million?
He's basing it on what the share of the current plan is.
I don't care about the current plan. That's not impact fee. It's already there. Plant is there.
But you're not a new plant is going to be there whether this gets built or not. Whether the one that we're talking about or the three,
right.
Whatever it is, you're going to have a new plant.
Right. So the more impact fees you have is going to help to offset the cost of the new plant. That's all I'm saying.
Right. But anyone here will pay for that new plant the same as all the old people will.
Right.
What happened in a new one, or for the referendum, whether you're here for 1 year or 100 years, you still paid $257 per year.
There was no distinction. Right. You don't have any impact fee. Right?
Yeah. So
what's our impact fee total right now? We had some kind of impact, right?
We haven't been collecting much of anything because there's been no real building. I think in the budget tonight, originally we were talking about $5,000, and I think we upped that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we've also kind of agreed that it shouldn't be in our regular budget. It should be moved aside.
Right.
So that's another consideration.
It should be separate.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Ed, why don't you work on that? I'm going to see if Dennis can come to and explain, what you've got here and see if that makes more sense than just saying, well, the fee is $4,600. Because I don't know why it's $4,600. That might be too low, too. I don't know. I just don't know where that came from. I know where this comes from. So that's what I'm trying to understand. We've had all these numbers and they're great, but basically we haven't been collecting them anyways. Marcy, you have any idea how much in impact fees we've collected over the last 10 years? Yeah. So we've got this great rate structure, but we haven't collected anything on it. So does anyone have a problem with what I suggested for next week?
None of them show impact fee in here, do they? Sewer impact says sewer impact fees. We must have collected something if you took all the old PAP bill listing of sewer impact fees. We've had in 10 years we've had a number of homes put up, right? So we should have had $4,000 on each one of them, right? Plus the condo units. There have been condos. Can't say there was no building in the last 10 years.
No, but I'd like to see how much.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, this is part of the Social Security thing again. Whatever impact fees came in, they were going to throw in apparently into the regular budget, into the general fund, and used up.
Which, benefited the people living here now. It'll cost later on.
Right.
Yeah, this is not easy stuff. It's not easy stuff. We want to make sure we collect enough to keep things going. But I think we need new people coming into town, too, at affordable housing, which these units will be. Market rate.
Yeah, what is the price of the units they're renting for? They're talking about a couple thousand?
Yeah, probably. The ones right across the bridge are tiny, and the fees, the rental fees.
Yeah, and we're worried about charging $4,000 for a one-time shot? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but is that building going to be apartments or condos?
Apartments.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not seeing a lot of condos anymore.
Yeah.
The demand is for apartments. The younger people they're not even buying houses either. Demands for apartments.
You're right, Jack. They're putting apartments in Florida by the hundreds.
Yeah, I was only down there a year ago. I forget where I was, and I was stunned by all the high rises. And yeah. I asked, "What are those condos?" I said, "No, they're all apartments."
Yeah,
well, and they were much bigger than anything that's being proposed for Derby. I can tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. And you take the rents are like $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
Times 100 units. That's a few dollars, right?
Yeah.
More so than the condo.
Well, again, I'm going back to I want to be fair to everybody and make sure that we cover our costs as we should, but not holding a gun to somebody's head for something that we shouldn't be collecting. So unless somebody has an objection, Eddie's going to put those figures together for us, and we'll have Dennis come. I'll ask Dennis to say, hey, look at this as a basis for fees. Does this make sense? And Ed, maybe you can go back to Weston and Sampson again, and based on our conversation tonight, ask them about that memo and how it fits in with what we were talking about tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and
Jack, can I add one other thing? Have you got any feedback from the city? You mentioned the city gave some tax abatements on these new people coming in, contractors building. Has the city put any pressure on WPCA to change the rate?
So, no, we had started talking about the rates last December before anything had happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were talking about before, and you know, we never said we were going to cut anything. We said we're going to look at the rates and see if they made sense. That's all we said we were going to do. And then I think in I don't know if it was January or February, I think the city then did do something with the developer. So, but we don't have that direct contact with the developer. We're not sitting down. And, you know, my thing is, I don't want to be sitting here talking to every single developer that comes into town and cutting deals.
Right. Okay? Well, no, I'm saying, I don't want you to do that either. But what I'm saying is the redevelopment group, who's ever involved there, if they sense that, our sewer rates are really causing a problem. People aren't buying. Then you would have heard about it, since you haven't.
We heard that. I said before that you know, economic development was saying the developers were saying we were too high. We did hear that.
Was the city development? Because we're part of the city, right? We're a subsidy of the Board of Aldermen subcommittee, basically. We haven't gotten any direction from the development people saying, hey, we got to cut our rates.
They haven't approached us, no.
Right.
But right. You know, part of that is, you know, I don't think anybody understands WPCA. How many people in town understand WPCA is totally separate? We set our own rates. We collect the right fees.
Right.
Well, a developer probably does.
Bottom line, what we're getting at is, you mentioned there's three buildings. Some are started in one phase or another. So apparently, they're signed contracts that they have right now.
Oh, again, the one that's going up by the entrance, that's the one that got the tax break. So that probably was the incentive to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, but. I can see if the city wants to cut taxes, that'd be a big incentive for getting people in. I don't think we should be in that loop, to be honest with you. We don't have to be. I think we should stay out of it.
Well, there's a difference between cutting a rate for one person or one developer and having your rates the same for everybody.
Well,
I'm from the board of feeling that the rate should be the same for everybody, no exceptions.
Exactly. You're talking about the rate the city cut for the developer? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Every contractor, every developer, you know, is an independent. They're separate contracts with the city, whatever they're doing as far as their rates.
But you can't go in and as an individual homeowner and do that, Bob. You can't go to the city and say, I'm going to build a home if you give me a 5-year abatement on my home.
Right. But you're talking multi-million dollar contracts. You're not talking $50,000 or $100,000.
Yeah, again, if the city wants to do that as an incentive, they can. It just,
right.
If you set our rates higher or lower, it's either an incentive or a disincentive.
I think we're stretching our incentive and disincentive. That's all I'm saying.
Haven't stretched anything yet because we haven't made any kind of decision.
No, but we're talking about it. We're worried about we're not getting any customers, right? People aren't going to build.
I would say that's a concern for me. I'll be honest. I get very disturbed every time I drive downtown and I see a hole in the ground. That's a terrible thing for the city of Derby to have a hole in the ground on our main street. And we should all be ashamed of that. That's not good for the city. It's not like for somebody to come driving through our downtown and that's their first impression of the city of Derby.
Well, it can't be any different until you get a road there. So you put a main road in, the state came through and tearing up the redevelopment project was moving along until the state came in. Who was it? COG?
Bob, they've been talking about the redevelopment downtown for 25 years.
No.
Yeah, a long time.
They finalized that way back. And then a month later, the state announced they're going to, done.
Hey, Bob, the city had to pay $1 million to one of the developers, and that was before the state came in with that road. I don't know if you remember that. I do.
They had to pay $1 million for?
Yeah. Go back and look. Because of the deal they had with the developer, okay? It cost the city $1 million. So, but hey, look, it's up to us to come up with whatever we think is right, okay?
Yep.
I have not made up my mind yet. I want to see what it looks like. So, other thoughts?
Nope. I'd like to see the comparison when Ed gets done with it next week.
Okay. I don't have anything else.
I will do it first thing tomorrow, and I will email it over to you guys by lunchtime.
Okay.
You're the man.
All right. Anyone want to make a motion? Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. You can make a motion before I stop.
Motion to adjourn.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. We're going to be adjourned. Hey, it's great that we have a discussion and we have disagreements, but we're all civil about it. That's the bottom line. That's the only way you get it done in the end.
Next meeting is